Morning, New Life family. Welcome to our online worship service. A special welcome if this is your first time joining us. We are Ron and Linda Franz, and we are your hosts for this week. We have been members at New Life Church for 20 years. It so happens that it was 20 years ago, last February 12th, that I started at New Life Church as the administrator. February 12th was a Monday, and I was not aware that none of the staff worked on Mondays back then. So my first day working was a very short one, but that changed on Tuesday. It was a privilege to serve on staff, and there are many stories and memories from that time. We have also passed the one-year mark for the pandemic. Who would have thought that that would be the case a year ago? It has been hard in so many ways for everyone. But it's our prayer that you may also have experienced blessings of a new kind throughout this year. For Linda and me, we have missed getting together with our whole family, including our 16 grandchildren. However, Zoom has also allowed us to connect with most of my siblings and their spouses every 2 weeks across 4 provinces and the Netherlands. That has been a real blessing for us for the past 9 months or so. We most likely would not have done that without the pandemic happening. We look forward to the time when we can gather in person to worship together, hopefully soon.
We have several announcements this morning. The first is Serve 2021. As we continue to press on at New Life, we are emphasizing serving others. Each month of 2021, we will feature a new opportunity to serve in the community. This month, we are providing meals for Cyrus Center, located in Abbotsford and Chilliwack. The Cyrus Center strives to meet the basic needs of at-risk homeless youth and their families. Each location schedules meals online, and our goal is to fill up the March schedule so that they are supplied with home-cooked meals for the month. We have already seen New Life family names on the Meal Train website. If you are unable to drop the meal off at the Cyrus Center, you can drop off a frozen meal here at the church, and we will bring it there. You can check out our website under the Events tab to sign up to provide a meal. The second announcement is an invitation to join online Sunday evening, March 28th at 7 p.m., for the live stream worship night called Abide. Abide is a time of prayer and worship where people can become equipped and intimate with God. Join us for reflection, prayer, and worship. The last announcement is about Easter weekend. On Friday, April 2nd, we are joining with other Christian Reformed churches in the area for a joint worship service that will be pre-recorded. The link will become available in the usual way on April 2nd at 10 a.m. and thereafter for your participation in the service. Let us come together online to worship our God and Savior. We are also excited to offer a special New Life Easter service on Sunday, April 4th. If you know someone who could use an encouraging message of hope, invite them to join us online on Easter morning.
The offering this week is for the Benevolent Fund. This fund is administered by our deacons to help families who need a hand. One example is to help families who find it difficult to pay the full amount of Christian school tuition. And another example is to provide financial assistance for counseling sessions for individuals or families. There are many ways that help can be provided. If you need help, contact the church office and the staff. Staff will be happy to connect you with the deacons. As you can see on your screen, we have many ways to give. If you're like me, you will probably have to stop this video and read the information again. Or you can learn more on how to give by checking out the link below in the video description. Please join me in prayer for the service and for the offering. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for bringing us together this morning. While we are not worshiping together in person, we ask that you draw us together so that we can sense in some real way all those who have gathered wherever we find ourselves. You are a great and good God who loves to see your people worshiping in spirit and in truth. May your Holy Spirit move among us and in us today. Bless each person and each family in our own unique situations, challenges, needs, and joys. May each of us be at peace and strengthened through this time of worship together. Father, as we give a portion of what you have entrusted to us, we ask that you bless both the giver and those who receive these gifts. Give the deacons wisdom, insight, and compassion as they use these gifts to help those who need it. Bless the worship team as they lead us in worship. Let their hands and voices be inspired by your Spirit, and let all of us at home sing as one. As Pastor Nathan brings us your word, strengthen him to speak boldly, with clarity, and with truth. Open our hearts and minds to receive this message this morning. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Okay, kids. Each week, Pastor Sam puts together a video and activity sheet for you. Just visit newlifecrc.ca/kids to find this week's activity. Every month there is a new series, and this month it is called Artrageous. God has put an inner artist in all of us, and during this series, you will have a chance to unleash the artist inside you by using all kinds of art to tell the Easter story and to picture the outrageous love of Jesus. And now we are going to join with the worship team and following that, the message from Pastor Nathan in our service called Perplexed. You can pause this video anytime to set up your kids for their lesson. Have a great Sunday.
When I end off some wonder, consider. and take me home. What joy shall fill my heart? Then I shall bow in humble
Jesus, and all hail. All right. Well, we've been following Jesus on his road to suffering. As we follow him in that journey to the cross, which leads us to Good Friday, that day in which we observe Christ's crucifixion. And as we've been following Jesus, we see him slowly being isolated from all of the supports that he has around him, particularly of his followers. He had at one point crowds of people around him, and then slowly it dwindles down to just his friends, and then it's just his disciples. And then one woman honors him with an anointing, while his disciples wonder, why this waste of expensive perfume being poured out on him? They didn't get who he was. And then one disciple would betray him, and all of the other disciples say that they would never fall away, and yet all of them do. And now, as we continue our look into Mark chapter 14, in this series, there's one last hour of Jesus' reckoning. The one time that Jesus could have used encouragement, courage from people around him. They're at the night that Jesus was betrayed. They're in the Garden of Gethsemane, which means olive press. That's what Gethsemane means. And indeed, the pressure is on. Listen, Mark 14, beginning at verse 32. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little further, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. He said, "Abba, Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." And then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Simon," he said to Peter, "are you asleep? Couldn't you keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you'll not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Once more he went away and prayed the same thing, and when he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They didn't know what to say to him. And returning a third time, he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Well, enough. The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." It's an overwhelmingly sad episode in the life of Jesus as we follow him on this road to crucifixion. Three times, Jesus returns to his beloved disciple, and three times he finds them asleep. Now, granted, there's probably reasons for it. It was a busy day the previous day with all of the preparations for this great celebration of the Passover. That was a big deal. Not to mention the fact that it was a late hour, perhaps midnight or even later, early Friday morning even, while they were in that garden. It was time to go to sleep. Not only that, but it had been an emotional night, and that wears you out. What with the news of a betrayer at hand, who could it be? And yet none of that figures into Jesus' question, "Are you asleep?" He doesn't account for any of those things in terms of excuses, nor even of judgment. And Jesus had singled out Peter and James and John to be near him in the garden with the instructions to stay here and watch, he said. Now, earlier in Mark 13, just a chapter before, just a few paragraphs before, Jesus had instructed his followers, presumably in some sermon that he had preached. He said this, Mark chapter 13, beginning at 34, "It's like a man going away, and he leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task, and he tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore," Jesus says, "therefore keep watch, because you don't know when the owner of the house will come back." And then Jesus, referring to the four watches of the night, a way in which in that culture they kept time during the night with four watches. One that happened in the evening from 6 o'clock till 9 o'clock, then from 9 till 12 was the midnight watch, and then from 12 till 3 was the third watch, and from 3 till 6 in the morning was the fourth watch. And so Jesus says, therefore, keep watch, because you don't know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening, the first watch, and if you recall, that's when they had the Last Supper, was during the first watch, right, at the Passover celebration. So Jesus says, keep watch. You don't know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight. That's the second watch, when they were in the Garden of Gethsemane. That's the second watch. Or, Jesus says, when the rooster crows. That wasn't just a prediction. That was the third watch of the night. And that's when Peter would have denied Jesus three times. Or at dawn, Jesus says, which would have been the fourth watch, anticipating perhaps resurrection morning. So Jesus says, watch, because you don't know when the owner of the house will come back. Any of those four watches of the night is when he could come back. And if he comes suddenly, don't let him find you sleeping, Jesus says. Now, here in the Garden of Gethsemane, it's only the second watch of the night, and already the disciples have fallen asleep. And it's not difficult to understand that Scripture here is telling anyone who follows Jesus, then as now, to keep watch. Stay awake, Jesus says. Now, it might be that we're falling asleep because we're simply just plain tired. Tired of the pandemic, tired of virtual worship services, tired of work, tired of nowhere to go, tired of no plans to make. We're just tired of it all. And that takes a toll on our spiritual lives. Let's not underestimate that. We get tired of these things. And we let go of good habits. We let go of some of our usual routines. And it's easy for us then to become complacent, to just kind of let it all go and figure, it's just all going to work itself out anyways. There's nothing for me to do. And we fall asleep, spiritually speaking, falling danger to assuming that everything's going to be, well, good enough, or it's going to just turn out okay anyways, whatever I do. Or maybe we fall asleep because we're tired of working hard. After all, getting along in this world takes a lot of hard work. And even though that's a good thing, we assume work will save us. It's easy to expect that our accomplishments, our achievements will get us ahead. They'll save us. And we turn to a frenzy of activity and practicalities that concern the here and now. And we fall asleep spiritually, careless about our devotion to God because we're too busy with taking care of business. Or maybe we fall asleep because we're simply weary, drained of all of the emotional resources that it takes to just survive in this world. And somehow we just can't sort it all out, or maybe we're just weary of trying to figure out what is happening in our world. What with anxiety and worry and confusion, we just don't know. And then we fall asleep spiritually because we're overwhelmed, or because we've given up, or because it seems hopeless. Jesus says, stay awake. Because as in Mark chapter 14, Jesus points out, there are signs. So keep watch, because there are signs of the Master's return. Signs that both warn you and encourage you about the presence of the kingdom of God. Now, I suppose we could consider some of those signs in our life today. I think maybe the COVID pandemic could be a sign. Could be a sign that God is simply saying to us, you're not in control. I am. The kingdom of God is at hand. I'm in control. But consider also the sign of the pandemic of racism that we may or may not be paying attention to. That's a sign that points us in the direction of considering being made in the image of God, what that means for us. It's a sign that points us to the fact that reconciliation can only happen in Jesus Christ. Rampant sexual exploitation signals our desperation for belonging. And the distortions of, as the Rolling Stones put it in the 60s, finding satisfaction. Another sign could be the climate crisis or the environmental crisis that warns us of our arrogance and of our greed and the consequent carelessness with which we live our lives. Polarization, culture wars that seem to be enormously increasing in our day and age. Perhaps those are signs. Signs of the kingdom of God at hand. Signs that only love can bring rest into our lives. Signs that only perfect love can cast out fear. Stay awake, Jesus says, to watch the signs. Stay awake also to be alert. Despite the signs, the Master returns suddenly, unpredictably, unexpectedly. And so here's the irony. Jesus says, stay awake to see the signs, but not because those signs will tell you when the end will come, but because you need to be faithful. Stay alert to be faithful. For Mark, the end is not the end of time, but the end of the old order of things. The end comes when Jesus says it is finished, when his crucifixion occurs, that enormous event of history that changes everything. The event that makes all things new. That's when the end is. So stay awake to the crucifixion of Jesus. An event that not only happened a long time ago and that we just merely have to remember. No. Stay awake to the event of the crucifixion and what it means for you and how that event shapes our world. And it shapes how we live our lives in this world. And it's an event that compels us to, as Jesus says, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Stay awake, Jesus says. Because that's how you're going to watch the signs. But that's also how you're going to stay alert and be faithful. Stay awake, Jesus says, because when the end draws near, that is a time to pray. As the hour draws near to Jesus' crucifixion, and yes, even in this hour, right now, we kneel with Jesus in prayer to make his death count for us. Such prayer is a time of pleading. Jesus says, Father, take this cup from me. And in our lives too, there are going to be trials and there are going to be sufferings that we say, God, I'd rather not have to go through with this. The prayers that we pray at such a time is also a prayer of submission, yet not my will, but your will be done. Which is reminiscent of the very prayer that Jesus taught his disciples when he said, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Such a prayer time is also waiting. Simply waiting. So much a feature of the good news of the gospel, of the presence of the kingdom. We wait. Wait in hope. The kind of waiting that you can't do if you're taking a spiritual nap. Jesus' desperate prayer, some say, may have been a sign of human weakness. And indeed, perhaps there is that indication that Jesus suffered as a real human being But his desperate prayer can also be characterized with tremendous hope. As someone wrote, hope in the manner in which a person waits for the surgeon's report on a biopsy of their liver. Or the manner in which, after an explosion in a coal mine, a wife waits at the pit head to hear if her own man is safe. One waits at such moments in an agonizing tension between hope and dread, stretched and almost torn apart between two dramatically different anticipations. Such prayer, such waiting, while apparently anxious and desperate, contains solid hope. Stay awake to maintain that kind of hope in the midst of that tension, rooted in an intimate trust and intimate knowledge of the Father and of His goodness. Stay awake. Stay awake in your faith life. Perhaps we fall asleep, indeed, because we are tired. We've become complacent, maybe even careless, or perhaps hopeless. Or perhaps we've fallen asleep because we don't have that kind of intimacy with God. We lack that deep trust, that deep knowledge of the Father, Abba Father, Daddy Father. And so Jesus says, keep watch and pray. Pray to the Father, for the hour will come when we must get up. Jesus says, are you still sleeping and resting? Enough. It's over. The end is here. Pray to the Father, for the hour will come when we must get up and we'll find that our rest really hasn't been rest at all. It's been laziness. It's been misplaced sleep. The writer of Hebrews, in chapter 4 and 5, seems to have thoughts of Jesus there in the Garden of Gethsemane as he wrestles with his Father in heaven to take this cup from me, and he pleads with the Father. And in that context, the writer of Hebrews encourages us to enter into God's true rest by not falling asleep. He writes, in chapter 4, beginning of chapter 4, therefore, since the promise of entering God's rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we've had the good news proclaimed to us. Don't fall asleep. Make sure that you enter into the proper rest that only God can offer. Not the kind of complacent rest that you say, this feels good, I can take it easy. Stay awake. Stay awake and pray to the Father for the kind of intimacy that in which you can trust that God will see you through. And then throw yourself upon our only Savior, Jesus. Because in that context of Jesus pleading for his Father, in that context of Jesus trusting his Father, in that context of Jesus intimately loving and knowing his Father in heaven, and that his plan is good and true, the writer of Hebrews assures us that Jesus that sat there in the Garden of Gethsemane praying desperately, that Jesus is our perfect high priest. He writes, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Let's pray together. Almighty God, may our relationship with you mean more to us than anything else in the world. And let nothing this day diminish our trust or divert our obedience. Because God, we trust you. We love you with all our hearts. And we pray, God, that you would awaken us to what you are doing in this world. And may we follow you, even if that means following you on the road to suffering, confident that your crucifixion has not only saved us, but it has prepared the path for us to live in your kingdom and to proclaim that kingdom, that good news to everyone around. And so may we live in faithfulness and in obedience, God, to the way of Jesus. Shedding your light in this world, declaring your greatness and your goodness, following diligently and faithfully in the way of the Master. And so, God, we pray this in the name and for the sake of our Savior Jesus Christ.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still. Thank you.
Power of Christ we stand. Amen. This morning, Pastor Nathan talked to us about the story of Gethsemane and cautioned us to stay awake spiritually. We want to remind you that there's still time to sign up for the Cyrus Center meal train. All the spots in Abbotsford have been filled, but there's still some spots left at the Chilliwack location. We also want to encourage you to post your prayer requests on the New Life prayer wall located on our app. We want this to be a place where we can come together, even virtually, to pray for each other and support each other. And now go with these words from Jude 24 and 25. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ, our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Go in peace.